Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on SportsGrid on this Tuesday morning. This is the early line. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Yesterday gave us the national championship game, the college football playoff national championship between Alabama and Georgia. Bama does not get it done despite beating the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC title game, Donnie. And this now transitions us towards, well, 2022, of course. It's one of my favorite things, really, in all sports, is the day after the season ends to look at next year's odds and who makes sense and who perhaps could be the favorites overall. We're going to do that right here. You have yourself the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide as a co-favorite, Donnie, at 2-1. The expectation is it's these two teams and everybody else.
No, it is the expectation. But I got to tell you, if you guys don't like parity, welcome to the party today, because on the top of the leaderboard here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for odds to win the championship next year, oh yeah, Georgia and Alabama tied. Just saw them play last night. Oh, but, you know, behind them, it's going to really shake up the scenes here. How about Ohio State third and Clemson fourth? This is like the college football playoff every single year, and they just list them 1-4. And you know what? Rightfully so. And if you like, oh, but I like to see other teams. Who? If I would tell you right now that Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson would be the top four finalists next year to get into the college football playoff, you know what I say right now, Kevin? Sign me up once again. Why? Because I, unlike some people, like to see the best teams actually make it into the college football playoff. Not parity. Not we never get to see a Pac-12 team in here, or, you know, we would love to see a big. No. Get the best four teams in there, we'll watch. So last night when we saw Georgia and Alabama, who will be again the favorites next year, I loved it. That was a rough three quarters to get through. Yes. Did they hit the gas pedal in the fourth quarter? Yes, it was. But you can't argue they were the two best teams, or can't argue against it, that they were the two best teams. Next year we see it opening up. And the thing I do get a kick out of here, Kevin, is you see it's like Georgia and Alabama. Let's throw a short price on those two guys at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, Ohio State bringing back a good quarterback. Clemson figure they'll bounce back. But then after that, it's almost like a dartboard. Like, yeah, Oregon, like Oklahoma is 40-1, basically in the top 10. Oklahoma lost their entire coaching staff. It looks like every single football player, but somehow they're still 40-1. I love looking at odds like that. Michigan, 40-1. They just made the college football playoff, and now they sit at 40-1 to win it next year. Miami Hurricane, 60-1. And it goes all the way down the rabbit hole after that. But I sort of get a kick out of, they say, Georgia, Alabama, and you're right, Kevin, everybody else.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to add something to Donnie, talk a little bit. Like, oh, he loves watching the SEC play. One of the things that I always find very interesting is how much Donnie wants there to be 1,000 teams in the college football playoff, but also always wants it to end with SEC teams meeting. But then I'm reminded that there are people out there who watched yesterday's game and decided to say BCS format was always right, despite not realizing that in the BCS format, those wouldn't have been the top two teams and would have been a Bama Michigan game. But that's because those people are jabronis. I will say this though quickly, DRS. If I'm not mistaken, they're hanging the UC, like USC, at 80-1 with Lincoln Riley. Listen, I have no reason to believe that it's going to take Lincoln a whole bunch of time to figure it out. I don't have to think that at all. Lincoln can go figure this out year one because he's Lincoln Riley. And what I'll add on top of that, Donnie, is if it's 80-1, you just got to get to the dance. And at the end of the day, if the Pac-12 gets a, you know, you get a legitimate one-loss conference champion, the appetite to put Lincoln Riley in there is going to be there. Like, for Oklahoma, Donnie, to be half the number of Lincoln Riley is just not something that adds up overall. Like the odds of us finding someone to bet this far out feels unlikely, but I think USC at 80-1 makes a lot of sense here. As the radio audience enters the fold, we appreciate all those tuning in to Sports Grid Radio throughout all of our affiliates here on this Tuesday morning. This is the early line, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. But DRS, that USC number really jumps out.
It does jump out. And I'm glad you brought this up here because so many people, you know, novice, and again, you know, with the turning on of sports betting in the state of New York, sports betting is awesome stuff, but you can certainly learn along the way. And one of those preconceived notions, Kevin, that you just brought up is, Kevin, you're so stupid. You're going to bet an 80-1 ticket, has no chance to win a championship. You might as well donate your money. You hear that a lot. But that's not the point of the 80-1 ticket. The point of the 80-1 ticket is to say, okay, can I get to the dance here? Can I win the Pac-12? Is Caleb Williams going to transfer over to USC, and now I have the coach and, you know, quarterback combo that I need. And if I can win the Pac-12, I can make it in at an 80-1 price, which then will turn into a 15-1 price if they're the number 4 team in the country. And you can roll that over and make money even if USC doesn't win a single college football playoff game once they get in. That's the whole point of the measure. And I do agree with you here because you're looking on the outside. Who is taking Georgia and Alabama 2-1 price right now? You might as well just take them when they meet up maybe head-to-head or in the SEC championship game next year, and you can make that money instead of tying it up for an entire year. But the fun tickets are the teams that you think would be on the come-up. Like maybe a Miami, Florida, change their head coach. Tyler Van Dyme's at quarterback. If he has a great year, can they win the ACC? Maybe, if Clemson's not all that good. So you turn that ticket into a 60-1, into a college football playoff contender. It's so early. You can't get, you know, big numbers down here because you don't really know how the season's going to turn out. But one thing's for certain, I'm not taking Georgia or Alabama 2-1. I'm looking way down for a team possibly that has a chance to get into the college football playoff and run it off of that. So good eye by you on USC.
You're a year away. The idea to bet it this early is to beat a number, not to have a ticket.
Yeah.
Unless you think they're going to flip one of the Bulldogs or the Crimson Tide to -300. Like, that's not going to happen here. It's not worth it. We're coming up against the break. We'll come back. I want to quickly acknowledge the Heisman odds because there's a lot of familiar faces there. And let's start as well talking wild card weekend playoff lines. That's all next right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Man, oh man, unfortunately, New York can't get involved with prop bets as it pertains to college athletes. So we're going to talk Heisman odds. I just have to trust the numbers that Donnie tells me. Donnie tells me they're offering you Bryce Young at 50-1. I think it's a great bet. I've capped this all night.
Yeah.
No. Now, listen, I've been able to look at him a little bit, Donnie. I want to add one name quickly, and then I'll pass it to you. But just on the guidelines of what we were talking about here, Caleb Williams is going to transfer out of Oklahoma. That's 100% guarantee. Otherwise, Dylan Gabriel does not go to Oklahoma then and take that job. Caleb Williams' two landing spots seem to either be the Georgia Bulldogs or going to reunite with Lincoln Riley in USC. Caleb Williams, if I'm not mistaken, like 25-1, that's a great piece of value.
Yeah, he's listed right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook here at 21-1. But if we take a look at that, you know, top five per se, Bryce Young again, +260. And this is what we take a look at, Kevin. How many times do we talk in the NBA? Like, you win an MVP, you have to, like, double down. The same thing in the NFL. Like, Aaron Rodgers, let's just say, wins the MVP throwing 45 touchdowns. The following year, he throws 55. Like, it's not good enough. He's not the MVP this year. We always like something new. So Bryce Young at +260 would never get my vote, even though next year he might throw for 500 yards per game. Like, won it last year. We're not going to give it to the kid. C.J. Stroud, +360. Tyler Van Dyke, Miami's young quarterback, who was sensational down the stretch at 21-1, along with JT Daniels. But again, yes, Caleb Williams in that 21-1 slot. If we slide it down, like DJ Uiagalelei, 26-1. Who would have thought that last year coming into the season, like, hey, if I can get DJU at 26-1, that is sensational value. Now, we saw the way the quarterback turned out, basically throwing 9 touchdown passes in 12 games in the regular season, which was ridiculous. That's the reason why he's a little bit lower. But when you slide it down, we're talking about the guys, Kevin, that can step up, and you're looking at one of these tickets to say, who is that moonshot I can take a look at? Spencer Rattler transferring, 42-1. correct me if I'm wrong, last year, top three, top two, maybe even the top overall guy in the Heisman race to start the season as Oklahoma's quarterback. Anthony Richardson sits at a 42-1. Sam Hartman, if he comes back, 42-1. But there's also a guy that I'm going to slide it all the way down here, Kevin, at 65-1. Usually what gets the eye of the beholder, which is the voters, you want arcade-type numbers. How about Malik Cunningham here, sitting at a 65-1 price for Louisville, almost in that Lamar Jackson mold that says, now hold on, he can throw for a few thousand yards and rush for 1,000 yards? Those are the fun one to take a look at, but you can slide it all the way down. Do you remember, Kevin, the Rose Bowl, Jackson Smith and Jigba here, 85-1 to win as a Heisman Trophy. Now, good, you got to fight your quarterback because if he has a big season, Kevin, you know what that means? Ohio State had a big season and their quarterback had a big season. But you look at players like that with those massive tickets here, it can happen. You can have a lot of fun in this market, Kevin, before the season even starts. Heck, just as the season just ended this year, you can have some fun.
I was wondering if Donnie would find my guy. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba. 85-1 is Don, that's unbelievable value. First of all, you can't – would they give it a wide receiver? Devonta Smith just won it. So there's an appetite for that. But, Donnie, you always talk about, hey, give me a stat line. I'll tell you what happened here. Donnie, C.J. Stroud in the Rose Bowl, 37-46, 573 yards, 6 passing touchdowns, and was not the star of the game. Because Jackson Smith and Jigba had 15 for 347 and 3. Like, yes, Donnie, it's going to be hard for Smith and Jigba to take it off of C.J. Stroud. But in a way, like, C.J. Stroud, Donnie's not in the mix here without Smith and Jigba being an absolute superstar at the wide receiver position. Like, again, 85-1, Donnie. You're putting $20 on that, and all of a sudden you're down the back stretch, and here we go. And what did we see, by the way, from this year's Heisman race, Donnie? Alive the whole way. If you have 2 weeks, 3 weeks left in the season, four guys in the mix, and one of them's Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, and you're holding 85-1, you're going to be able to do some real damage.
No, you certainly can. That's the fun of it, right? Because then you can start leveraging that pick against other ones where you're coming down the stretch. And it's a great point you bring up here in the Rose Bowl, right? Because we've seen quarterbacks have monster days in college football. But as we talk about the MVPs and what has to make sense, look in the MVP market right now for the NBA. And you say, you know, you don't know how it's going to end up. But starting in the season here, Steph Curry breaking records. If you are breaking records, you automatically get a level up on your competition. So you're right. When you saw the Rose, well, hey, man, the quarterback had a ridiculous game. But the wide receiver broke records. He leads the headlines. So next year in college football, if you have a wide receiver catching 1,900 yards in passes and 27 touchdowns, it almost doesn't matter if the quarterback, Kevin, throws 61 touchdown passes. You're only looking at go, this we've never seen before from a wide receiver, and that's where you get the elevation.
Absolutely. Look, let's make this transition to some early lines here. I don't think we're going to get to every game today. Good thing we're going to be talking about these games all week long. I want to start it off, Donnie, in the AFC because the AFC is where the postseason begins. Middle Saturday here, Bengals, Raiders. Cincinnati is a 6-point favorite over the Vegas Raiders. We talked about this when we recapped Sunday Night Football yesterday. Vegas making that field goal was the difference between going to Arrowhead as a double-digit dog and here against Cincinnati as under a touchdown underdog. The total for this one is 49.5. And similar to how I felt, Donnie, when I looked at the Vegas line against the LA Chargers, my thought was, man, am I falling for the Colts' performance? This feels a little disrespectful to Vegas. And I just swap a couple team names around, Donnie, but I feel it again. Man, am I falling for what the Raiders have done the last 2 weeks, or is there legitimate value here on the plus 6? The one thing I know, Donnie, I don't see any way that this number gets to the full 7.
I don't think it does either, and I'm falling for the Vegas Raiders as well. This is going to fight everything in my urge because let's line up what makes sense, Kevin, and what doesn't make sense. The Vegas Raiders are a pretty good football team. They showed it down the stretch. They've played already in de facto playoff games, Kevin, and have won those playoff games just to make it into the playoffs. So they're getting 6 right off the bat. I'm interested here. But here's the reason where I love what Cincinnati did, and it's a two-pronged attack here, which I'm going to give you. They rested their players and took their bye week. The Las Vegas Raiders had to come down the backstretch of the NFL season wondering if they were even going to get in. And then, yes, playing a division rival on Sunday Night Football into overtime and late into overtime. So they de facto played five quarters on Sunday night when one team, the Cincinnati Bengals, was resting here. So also you take a look at the Bengals, who are the better football team. They have the higher seed, won the division, and they are at home. Now, here's the issue that I'm going to have coming up to this. I like Cincinnati. They should win this game. But is there any inkling here? Because the practice reports will start to come out today because you're moving up that league, you know, week one day ahead of time for a Saturday game as opposed to Sunday. Typically, you would have off a day on Tuesday as the normal player's day off because you play Sunday. But now you play Saturday. That gets moved up and they'll practice today. Are we worried a little bit about Joe Burrow? Because Joe Burrow got knocked out of the football game in the last basically two plays of the game, where you salted the clock away and kicked the field goal and won it for the Cincinnati Bengals over Kansas City. You took the week off last week and you rested. He's going to be fine. But what happens when I get that practice report today, Kevin, that says limited in practice, Joe Burrow knee? Am I going to be betting on a quarterback that saying, hey, I'm going to say all the right things, but I know I'm not 100%, and this is going to be my first playoff game, and I'm expected to do big things? The talent level here is on Cincinnati's side. The rest, Kevin, is on Cincinnati's side. The home field environment is on Cincinnati's side. By the way, Cincinnati, when they make the playoffs, they are always penciled in for some reason as the early game on Saturday to start wild card weekend. It's hilarious they do that to them. But having said that, I want to take the 6 points, even though I think Cincinnati's the better team. But question mark here is that quarterback, and that's Joe Burrow. How's that knee really, Kevin?
And Donnie, to your point, if you're betting it on here on a Tuesday, that limited practice report comes out. Boom, maybe we go down to five. We go down to 4.5. Numbers can move off that information there because Joe Burrow's been out of sight, out of mind. And we'd say, oh, the line makers are prepared for that. They hung Cincy -3 after they announced Case Keenum was starting. When here on the early line, we told you Joe Burrow wasn't playing week 18. Maybe they're not fully aware of what's going on with Joe Burrow. Now, we'll add this quickly. These teams played 32-13 Cincinnati. In Vegas. Does that matter? We'll talk about that for some of these other games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right now here on Sports Grid. Wild Card Weekend has 6 matchups. 5 of those, Donnie, we already saw during the regular season. Cincinnati-Vegas, we were just discussing here. Cincy on the road beat the Vegas Raiders 32-13. It's one game. Vegas is playing much better football, certainly now, than they were at that point. But, Donnie, it's Bills-Patriots. In every AFC game, the only one we haven't seen, Cowboys-Niners. That's a true fresh mashup. I feel like that's why that one like grabs my eye the most, perhaps, here, Donnie. How much, if at all, do you value in what we saw in the regular season with these games that already kind of played out?
You have to look at it a little bit because, you know, styles make fights and matchups always matter. But at the same time, it's not always the case. You don't know who was injured. It's a COVID year. You know, on the road, who they played the week before, how big the game meaning was. And now the pressure does get ratcheted up because if we can just say, hey, did you see, you know, Las Vegas get blown out by Cincinnati? The same thing is going to happen. Why even play the game? Like, why does Vegas even get on the plane and go, oh, man, we can't win this game. There's no shot here. So you have to take a little bit of the grain of salt. And they are professionals here. Trust me. This isn't high school football or college football where one team is scared of the other team. It's not the way human beings operate, especially grown gentlemen, when they get on the football field. I don't take a whole lot out of it because even, Kevin, in a lot of these games we have blowout victories, they still come down to a play or two, a drop third down conversion, a strip sack fumble. It happens quite a bit here. So when you look at the games previous, do you want to take a look at how some teams operate? Because quite frankly, you might have just a bad matchup. Hey, this team has great wide receivers. The other team can't defend the pass. They're going to do it again. But in case in point, in that Vegas Raiders-Cincinnati game, I don't necessarily see that. And there's still a lot of extenuating circumstances because the pressure's ratcheted up now. Young kid first start here in the playoffs coming off of a banged up knee that he maybe doesn't trust. That might override, Kevin, what we saw earlier in the season.
And to just add this quickly to Donnie's point, with, you know, 7 minutes left in that game in the fourth quarter, since he was only up by three, the Bengals, like, there's something about this group. They like to run it up when they can. If they all of a sudden have the chance to punch you in the head, they will. We saw them do that to, you know, Baltimore or a Pittsburgh this year. And that matters to point spreads. But it also then, like as Donnie is suggesting here, all right, maybe they weren't 19 points better than the Vegas Raiders on the road as well. Donnie, looking at Bills Patriots here, the other Saturday game, Buffalo is a 4-point favorite and the total is 43.5. It is so interesting to me because they met that Monday night game. We've talked about it a lot. We'll talk about it more. But it was in Buffalo, and New England closed under that field goal. We then went to Foxborough, and we saw the, you know, Bills almost like a 1-point favorite, Donnie, with the way those lines were moving. This is by far the strongest line a team is laying, you know, with now this being the third matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. Are you surprised that we see the full four here now in the third game?
Now, here's what I'm going to bring up right off the bat. You know me, Kevin. I love weather conditions, and particularly love weather conditions when it comes down to New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills because of what we saw this year. Bad weather game, New England won, got lucky in that game. Regular weather game, New England gets blown off the field by a much more talented Buffalo team. But get this, we were looking at weather conditions, Kevin, yesterday in the 20s at kickoff here. Do you know what we're listing them at right now? At 9 p.m. without the wind chill, -1 in Buffalo for this game. Oh. So right around kickoff, we are at zero. And I don't know, because like, a lot of people say, look at the wind conditions, and it looks like it's going to be low wind. I get that. But the way the football reacts, the way the human body reacts, once you're getting down, not at like, oh, it's cold at 15 or 10 or 5, at zero and below zero during this game. Field goal is running it. So immediately when I see that, and again, the windy conditions are different, but if you're trying to take a team that is built to play in harsh conditions, it's actually the New England Patriots. I'm going to tell you right now, if you ask like Mac Jones, you know, kid comes from the South, played football at Alabama, what would you rather have? 55 degrees and, you know, a perfect day in Buffalo. Yeah, you'd rather have that. But so would the Buffalo Bills. They'd probably run you off the field. But if you're going to tell Bill Belichick right now, I'm going to get a kickoff at around 0 degrees at kickoff, I will take that every single time, and my quarterback will throw 5 times in this football game, and we'll try for a carbon copy of when we went in last time to Buffalo, won that game. Now, the key ingredient is going to be, we're still sitting here, Kevin, talking about this game on a Tuesday morning. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe the game heats up, maybe the winds kick in, and maybe this gets even colder at game time. So all you bettors out there are looking at this game at the 4s and the 43s, those extreme conditions usually lend itself to the team that wants to really run the football and run it well, New England, and also lends itself to a possible under. Because trust me, I've played in cold weather conditions, not nearly as -5 degrees, but when you're catching a howitzer like Josh Allen, it doesn't feel that good when that hits your hands.
No, it certainly doesn't. Now, I wanted to say, though, what now all of a sudden, Donnie, catches my eye, almost maybe more than side and total, becomes the props. Do you have to shade this towards, you know, Bills Pats 1 more so maybe than Bills Pats 2? Very different games. You look at those final tallies, Don. The second game was a bang over, right? When you look at that 43.5. But one thing that jumps out right away, anytime touchdown score is already available, this is the nature of the postseason here. You know, during the back end of the regular season, we didn't have any time touchdown scores on our Friday shows. We have them now. Donnie, Damian Harris checks at +125 as an anytime touchdown scorer. He scored the big breakaway touchdown the first meeting, and then 3 in Bills-Patriots 2. 100 rushing yards in both of those games for Damian Harris. To cheat a little bit, to tomorrow, Donnie, we'll probably do some target player props here for the postseason. Boy. I mean, Damian Harris is going to jump right off. Like, Donnie, I'm just doing the math in my head. If I'm getting +125 on him to score, is his yardage prop going to be 60? It's going to be a lot of Damian Harris, I feel, Donnie, as long as he can stay healthy and handle the workload.
It is going to be a lot of that. And by the way, as you just said that, here's why we love the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? It's Tuesday now, Kevin. And like, you know, while Super Wild Card Weekend is on the horizon here, I just clicked on weekly specials. And I got to tell you, There might be 25 of them up right now, and they look sensational. So when we talk about, you know, tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, we can do segments on some of this good stuff here, like Jamar Chase and Darren Waller combined for $175 this weekend. Mike Evans or Rob Gronkowski to have $125 receiving yards in this one. How about the rookie double here, Kevin? Elijah Mitchell to score a touchdown and Micah Parsons to have a sack. Man, this is now my juice. Again, I'm supposed to be tame. Like, hey, it's morning. People just getting opening up their sports page today, getting their cup of coffee today. Why is DRS already fired up on a Tuesday for Wild Card Weekend coming up? Because all of these weekly specials that I need to go over, and we're talking about New England and Buffalo. Your point is valid right now. If you're looking at freezing cold conditions, Bill Belichick has a hoodie right now on in Foxborough in the coach's room in the dark with that wry smile on his face going, oh, yeah. Wait till they get a load of our game plan here on Saturday night in Buffalo. And I can't wait.
Now, I have to say, Donnie's excitement is not matched by me. Donnie, not a single one of those is listed right now here in New York.
Oh, man.
I will be DMing the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I mean this genuinely, during the commercial break, and I'm hoping I get an answer before we leave. Donnie, enough time, though, to talk about your least favorite game of Wild Card Weekend. Maybe a lot of people's least favorite game. The Sunday night spot. Patrick Mahomes against Big Ben. 12.5 is the number. 46.5 is the total. We talked, Donnie, already about, hey, can things just repeat themselves? 12.5 is a lot in a playoff game. I don't want to lay 12.5 with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Steelers are bad. They are. They're really bad. And I don't know how they're here. They are. Can you take 12.5 under? What a awful game. I mean, you want to talk about like Sunday night fiasco. Like, I'm having some ice cream and we're throttling down, hoping that the first two games were an absolute delight, it feels like here, Donnie, when I look at this one.
Yes, and I'm not looking forward to this game, but hear me out on this. You're taking a look at this number. I have no idea how Pittsburgh is winning. Pittsburgh's won 3 out of the last 4 games. Like, look at the scores that they've had, right? Versus Tennessee, they won, scored 19 points, lost and scored only 10 against Kansas City. Won against Cleveland 26-14, then put up 16 points in that game against Baltimore. Each one of those anemic performances on offense. Let's just go over these last 4 games, Kevin, on offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Versus Tennessee, oh, a stellar 35 yards on the ground and $133 in the air. What? They won that football game at Kansas City in a shootout, basically, because Kansas City put up 36. You figure you get some junk time, you know, yards here. $130 on the ground, $173 in the air. Versus Cleveland, $190 on the ground, which is great, but only $109 in the air. Versus Baltimore, $79 on the ground, $235 in the air. And that includes an overtime game. So I'm not looking for this game per se, but if the Steelers come in with some of this ridiculous magic that they've had for a couple weeks here, Big Ben doesn't throw 3 interceptions. But the key indicator here for me is, what am I getting out of Kansas City? We know Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. How about if I have a 50% Tyreek Hill? You saw late in the game, Travis Kelce limp off the field. The most talented running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is he playing this week? Or how about Darrell Williams, who's second in line? Oh, yeah, that's right. He got hurt last week and had to miss the second half of the game. Are we getting a banged-up Kansas City Chiefs team that we're going to give a little bit too much on because of so much hatred toward the Steelers and the way they play that I can only take Kansas City, Kevin, in this game? They should win by 2 touchdowns, and they should, but I've seen these games. I've seen these ugly Steelers games. Like, how are they hanging around? How is it 17-16 in the fourth quarter? Something tells me that the Steelers could hang around, but something also tells me the Steelers could lose again 36-10.
The last game, Donnie, was kind of that apex of the fade the Steelers in the first half, right? 23-0 KC in the first half. Next 2 weeks, Pittsburgh, cover the first half. That first half number is going to be so interesting. Do they make you pay above the touchdown? I can't imagine they do. But 6.5 is going to jump off the page a little bit light. That number is one that I cannot wait to see. It's got that flat 7. Yeah, it makes sense. It does.
Flat 7.
We'll break down more NFC tomorrow. But let's preview your Tuesday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tuesday preview, college basketball really catches the eye here on a Tuesday. We've got some ranked versus ranked action, which is always my favorite. A bunch of ranked teams are in action here on this Tuesday, Donnie. But I want to go through the three ranked versus ranked games that jumped out, two of them in the Big 12. And we'll start in Lawrence, Donnie. Kansas, Iowa State. Iowa State, we've talked about this group now a number of times here on the show. Are they real? Are they not? And they continue to be booked at a number that says they are not. Over the weekend, I believe it was, they played Oklahoma as a 6-point underdog. They were up at half and ultimately lost the basketball game by, I think, double digits. I think 11 they lost the game by. And did not cover, of course, in that losing effort. Well, now Iowa State, another challenge in the Big 12. They play the Kansas Jayhawks, one of the best teams in the country, who's coming off a loss as well, actually. Kansas, a road trip against Oklahoma State, losing outright as a 7-point favorite. Donnie, we look at this number here, though. Kansas is laying 11 points. We can talk total. But I have to imagine there are going to be so many people, like myself this morning. You see the number 15 team in the country getting double digits. And that's hard to really understand. What do you make of this spread?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, as we like to say, Kevin, what the spread is there for a reason, right? Just a little bit of back capping here on Iowa State versus Kansas this game. Iowa State comes in this one, what, losers of 2 of 3, 1-2 in conference play. Kansas, no surprise here. You know, one of the bigger home court advantages in college basketball at Fog Allen, 6-0 at home, 1-1 in the conference. But the one thing that does stick out is, you know, Kansas is going to play with a little bit of tempo, and so is Iowa State. So if we're taking a look at the over-under at 142, I do think it makes sense. But also, when we take a look at handicapping and what we like to look at, we're sort of right in the middle here, Kevin, because we have what we like to call the silly season where you're playing all over the place against different conferences. Now you're back in the conference play. Most teams, you know, anywhere between 2, 3, 4, and 5 conference games already under their belt. So looking at the Big 12 here, just getting underway in conference play, here's the differences here. If you take a look on the season total, and if you take a look at just Kansas's offense versus Iowa State's defense, in the country, if we just take a look again, outside of Big 12 play and using everything combined, top 5 offensive efficiency here for Kansas. How about on defense for Iowa State, Kevin? In the top 10 at number 6 overall. But when we take a look at conference play, it changes up here for us. And you see these teams go, now hold on. All those teams that you held to those low scores and you got up tempo with, that's not going to be the same anymore because you're playing the Baylors of the world, the Texas Techs, the Kansases, the Iowa States, and that makes sense. So if we look at conference play here in the Big 12, you know who's 9th in the conference now in offensive efficiency through a couple games? Iowa State. So all that smooth offense that you've had by playing teams that you can beat up on, no longer there at this point. And the same thing with Kansas. So if we're taking a look at this game, so new here, and you're talking about kids going into Fog Allen, even though if this game was in a different setting, Kevin, to myself, I probably would be leaning more towards the over, but I'm just going to take the under here. 142 conference play right here in Kansas. I'm going to lean on the under in this game. And that is a big line. So also keep in mind, Kevin, if we're anticipating a double-digit line, what sticks out the most when you're trying to get a total in this, right? It's, hey, if it's a 3 or 4 point line, that means late in the game, these two teams will be within a possession or two, and we might get that last minute to minute and a half explosion of foul calls. If we're expecting a double-digit game, that limits your exposure in the second half of maybe a foul fest. So I'll lean on the 142, whereas maybe not getting that bonus last 2 minutes of the game, as opposed to one team walking it up with 30 seconds to go and just running out the clock.
It's a good point. It's one of the things in college basketball that it's the first half totals are significantly lower than the second half totals because of that foul game. But it's always interesting to me, Donnie, to see that apply to games with double-digit point spreads, the way it will here in, you know, Kansas, Iowa State. I would just add some ATS trends for you. The Cyclones are 5-1 against the number as a dog this year. So that non-cover against Oklahoma was the first time as a dog they were not able to get the job done. It's hard to ask a team to be flawless against the spread as an underdog here. Iowa State lost to Baylor, right? But covered in that loss. I think Iowa State can keep this close. You're looking at a Jayhawks team. It's only 500 ATS on the season. Speaking of Baylor, though, Donnie, the Baylor Bears in action against Texas Tech. Baylor, another double-digit favorite here. They're laying 12 points. The total for this one checks in at 135.5, and Baylor, Donnie, playing the kind of basketball that I like to see, 6-1-1 to the over in their last eight games. You look through the numbers here, Donnie, this Big 12 matchup, does it point you towards an over or perhaps a side?
It actually points me towards a team total here, and let's outlay this here. So we've got Texas Tech at Baylor here. Texas Tech 0-2 on the road this year, 1-1 in conference play, but they did just beat Kansas here, and they are a slower tempo team here. Let's take a look at Baylor. What's not to like, Kevin? 9-0 at home, 15-0 in the season, 3-0 in the Big 12, and they like to get after it tempo-wise. Now, here's what I just talked about, you know, the silly season and then trying to match up in conference play. If we're taking a look at the game total overall listed at 135.5, and Baylor a big favorite of minus 12. If we look at the regular season outside of Big 12 conference play, you're going to get a Texas Tech. Hey, decent on offense, decent on defense. But if you flip it over here in a conference play, take a look at this. 10th in the conference at adjusted efficiency here on offense for Texas Tech. Shooting the three-pointer in conference play, Kevin. How about this? 21% overall. Let's take a look at Baylor's defense here. Looking at the three-point line here, and again, this is so few games here in conference play, you have to take a little bit of a grain of salt here, but they are number one in the conference at defending that. So one of the worst shooting teams in conference versus the best defending team in conference, that's ultimately going to slow you down. And also, Texas Tech in conference play, Kevin, on offense from the free throw line, dead last in conference play at 56% from the line. So if we're taking a look at a team that plays decent defense against a bad offense, and that offense that usually plays with a little bit less tempo, this game probably leaning more towards the under, but an under per se at that 135.5, I'm not going to go with that because Baylor's offense is sensational. They're a good team. They should win by margin tonight. But take a look at this at the FanDuel Sportsbook here tonight. Texas Tech's total points, 61.5, which is ultra low. Kevin, I'm going to take that to the under in this one.
Ooh, there we go. And Donnie was telling me we're getting closer and closer to those college basketball team totals, which I can't wait to go through. And we'll, Donnie, you know, those team totals, the NFL, we talked about them all the time, Donnie, Major League Baseball, those target team totals. When we get to that point, I want to hopefully deliver people kind of a full breakdown of what you look for, kind of line some stuff up there.
Yes.
We'll get there kind of when it's time. Obviously, you know, we're still in the heart of the NFL season and things like that. Last game I want to bring up here, Donnie, Alabama and Auburn, number four team in the country, catching points, and that would be the Auburn Tigers. They have one loss this season. It was an overtime to UConn. The Crimson Tide, they're a two-point favorite, now up to three here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Here's the thing, Donnie, when it comes to Alabama, as I start to take some notes for this game, I almost go back and just keep pressing backspace because there's no point to me. The way I feel like about Alabama, unfortunately for my Iona Gales who beat Bama, and I was hoping that that win was going to catapult Iona into the top 25 one day, is Alabama, Donnie, is just this Jekyll and Hyde group. They bomb away threes, and when it works, it's amazing, and other times they can't get there. For that team to go to Florida, Donnie, right, upset the apple cart of that ranked team catching points versus an unranked, and then flip it around and lose to Missouri, I believe it was, as a 14-point favorite. Alabama's laying, you know, 2-3 points. Donnie, they might win by 15. They might lose by 15. That's who Alabama is to me.
No, it certainly is. You live by the three, you die by the three. And that's what's going to turn up in this game here. So you do have two good football teams. See that? Auburn and Alabama here. What I was going to say is, Alabama playing this game at home, one would have thought that the football team would be coming home from the national championship game. You honor them at the halftime between the Auburn-Alabama game. Ha, ha, Auburn, look at us, another national championship. Not the case in this one. So maybe the crowd a little bit down in this environment. But doing a little bit of back-checking on both of these teams. How about this, Kevin? Auburn, you know, tempo team, 3-0 on the road this year, 3-0 in the SEC. Take a look at Alabama, 7-0 at home. They play with tempo, 2-1 in the SEC, 156. It's about as high as you're going to get here in college basketball. I know some of those totals float around that 160 range, but the tempo should be there on both sides. Now, again, keep in mind, these two teams have only played three games in conference play, but Auburn, number one overall in defense here in the SEC. And here's the key component. Alabama in conference play, Kevin, they shoot close to 45% of their total shots from three-point range, as you said. Live by the three, die by the three. But right now from the three-point line, only shooting at 28% in conference play, going up against an Auburn defense that from the three-point line, holding opponents to under 30%. That's going to be key. And also, take a look at Auburn's defense, Kevin, inside the arc, number one in the SEC. And again, take it with a grain of salt. There's only three games played. Once these teams all play each other, you get about seven or eight games in, you're going to have a better feel overall for this one. But if you're looking from a side perspective, if they get it going, the tempo could be there to get the 156. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lean on defense early in the season. And how many times do we go over college basketball schedules, Kevin, and how hard it is to win on the road? I don't care who you beat. If you're 3-0 in true road games, that means you can play good basketball on the road. Give me the short dog here on the road, +2, +2.5, +3, whatever that line winds up. I'm going to take Auburn in this game.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense overall. It's a fun game. I also have said this many times. Alabama, that's a live college basketball team. What I mean by that is in-play sports tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern start time here on Sports Grid Radio. I'm sure Alabama-Auburn will come up while we are live on air. Transitioning to the NBA, I picked out two games here for us to talk about. And I want to hit some of the notes that I have on both of them, and I'll pass it over to you, Donnie. Quickly, in Toronto, the Raptors are red hot right now, which brings a tear to my eye, as I thought that their win total multiple times. I've been like, oh, this is an easy win. It's an easy loss. I have no idea what's going on with this group. They have now won 6 games in a row. They are 10-2 against the spread in their last 12 games. They have been just getting the job done countlessly here. However, they are only 1-4 against the number as a home dog this season. And you look, Donnie, their last game was a non-cover, and the game before that was a miraculous cover against a Utah Jazz G League team that they somehow stormed back and covered a double-digit number against here. I worry about Toronto continuing to get the job done here. At now, it almost looks like a short price on the Phoenix Suns. I will say, though, I have an expectation of points. Phoenix is coming off of allowing 123 to Miami Heat here, and the Raptors fire away. One of Donnie's favorite three-point prop teams, FVV, going absolutely nuts every game. Toronto's last game was an under. It had snapped a 10-game over streak for the Raptors. Secondly, Grizzlies, Warriors. Cannot wait for this one. Memphis is on a 9-game win streak, 8-1 against the number in that run. Draymond Green already listed out. I'm not sure the right team is favored here in this game, truly. The last time Memphis lost was at Golden State. I think the Grizzlies get the job done. But for a prop to you tonight, Steph Curry's back. I've just mentioned that Steph has struggled shooting the basketball. He has been above 50%, Donnie, shooting just once since November 30th. It was against these Memphis Grizzlies. He scored 46 points in the game and made 8 threes. Donnie, how often was it minus 500 for this guy to make 5 threes? Plus 112 for him to make 5 threes tonight. Over 25.5 points for Steph Curry. Hit that in his last game. I think he has a big one.
Yeah, changing of the guard. You're talking about big nights from three-point range. You brought it up in the first game here with the Toronto Raptors here. How about Fred VanVleet after coming back from COVID protocols, Kevin? Let's take a look at the three-pointers that he's... Forget about the makes, the launches. 13, 13, 14, 10, 12, and 17. He's got to be included in your lineup tonight. Maybe a Fred VanVleet, maybe a Steph Curry cross-game parlay here. Sign me up. Let's do it tonight. In-play sports tonight. Well,
that's some beautiful stuff. Awesome, awesome. Just make sure you leave Jason Tatum out of those. He stinks. What an overrated
And Portis,
talent.
Bobby Portis. Leave him at the bus stop.
Yeah, see you, true. Donnie closes out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Tuesday on the early line. SiriusXM channel 159. You are on the grid, and college football ended last night with a bang. National champion here, the Georgia Bulldogs. Let's put a bow on the 21-20 season here. Let's get after it. Listen up. And how about, yes, the 2021 season, not the 2021 season, the 22-21 season, whatever I just said here. Let's put a bow in the season and send it off here. Rightful champion here comes from the SEC. The best conference overall is the SEC, and they matched up last night. Georgia won, Alabama lost. Where does that leave us for next year? With Kevin and myself taking a look already at the early odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook here and how they matched up. You know, the two favorites are next year to win the championship. You guessed it, Georgia and Alabama. But what did we get here out of the 2021 season? Interesting stuff. We had a non-Power 5 school make it into the college football playoff and have a decent showing there in the Cincinnati Bearcats, and they deserve to be there. Yesterday, we saw the playoff committee meet again and say, hey, guys, we can't come to an agreement on the expansion of the playoff to 12 teams. Let me help you guys out. I've said it time and time again. I will fly in for free. Have me sit in on that meeting. We will have a 32-team playoff by next year, and everybody will be happy. But a lot of question marks coming into the season next year. Is the SEC still going to dominate? And how about also taking a look at the teams that may be on the comeback trail? The Miami Hurricanes, with Mario Cristobal now as their head coach. How about USC maybe on the comeback to the days that we haven't seen since way back when Pete Carroll coached them with Lincoln Riley coming to town? Also, the question mark teams here. Is Oklahoma still going to be on top of the heap here with a legitimate chance to win the Big 12 and maybe be a contender despite losing their head coach and just about every single meaningful player, it seems like, on the football team? Also, taking a look at Clemson and Dabo Sweeney, can they be back next year in the ACC? And as always, what are we getting out of the SEC? It's going to be interesting to watch. We have a long time to break it down, but we'll see you next fall here with college football. One thing you guys got to do right now is stay tuned for more here on the Sports Grid Network as Ben Stevens in the Morning After. They got you covered for the next 3 hours. For Donnie and Kevin, we're out of here. See you tomorrow.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.